This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I could be the dumbest person I know.
What'd you
Welcome back on Sabres Live. Well, look at me. Am I not, like, squinting the entire... Like, what do I typically wear on this show?
A hat?
A ball cap.
Yeah.
Like, any beautiful connection I've had with New Era the last dozen years is probably out the window because I'm not rocking a New Era cap while staring directly into the sun today. This is so dumb. Anyway, so apologize.
You look good. Got good coloring. I like that. You know, the sun is bringing a nice shade of...
Thank you.
Of skin.
Of rosiness. Skin. Yeah. Well, feel like it's going to be about 40 and cloudy for the next week and a half in my life, so I'm going to absorb as much of this vitamin D as I can today.
Well, enjoy the vitamin D. Okay, so
yeah, you got some follow-up to yesterday, right?
Yeah, great chat with Michael Leone in the first 20 minutes of the show. If you missed it, we'll probably post some, and you can go on the app and be able to rewind and all of that, but the Odyssey app, I should say, and rewind because it's on WGR as well as MSG.
YouTube? But, will this land on YouTube, Jeff?
Jeff, we have the interview on YouTube. Maybe we'll put it on YouTube. It was great. I love his, he's a talker. Michael Leone is a talker. But I was going to say, he processes everything in every answer, and it's great. There's a lot of knowledge there. It's awesome. So one of the thing we asked people yesterday is, how do you think the team will be different in 2 weeks from now, after the Four Nations face-off? And what would you do? We talked Bo Byram a lot yesterday. You know, there's somebody on social media, and I'm trying to find it again, that was like, I agree 100%. Sign him for $7 million per year. You know, that is the type of partner that Dahlin has been best with. Like, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. One of the common duffer was, we need to find ourselves a number one center. And look, Yuri Kulik is done well, but if Tage is going to play the wing, and Michael Leone talked about Tage unlocking the shot attempt volume and everything on the wing, maybe that's a priority. Who do you have playing number one center? I think Cooley can do the job, but that means, okay, well, maybe you need a number two center, like a top six center, maybe a search for the Sabres in the next few weeks here. So that's one of the comments that we've had here on social media yesterday after the show.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, based on where they've been at that position and what was lined up, over the last couple of seasons based on contract extensions for Tage and for Cousins.
Yes.
I can't imagine anybody was thinking we would be having this. And I don't even know whether we should be having it, if that makes any sense. Like, because I'm still thinking of Tage as a center. Like, I'm sorry. But you clearly aren't.
I'm starting to question. And look, Tage Thompson in the last you know, 18 games, I believe, was on pace for over 100 points when
Who
you look
cares?
At...
He scored 47 as a center.
Exactly, like... but then I'm like, he did have 94 points and 47 goals as a center.
Right.
Like, it's
We're splitting hairs
impressive.
Here. Like, he's not yes. an all-world new superstar because of a shift to the wing. He's the same production as he was at his best as a center, which always comes down to full health, which I don't know how much Tage has had of that in the last year and a half to 2 years. Post his massive season, and he still continues to produce
but
on
do
average
you, do,
well over 30
like,
goals a year.
Do you like Jiří playing with Tage? Jiří playing with Tage, then Yuri's a center, and I'm like, do I want Jiří on the wing, or do I like Tage on the wing better, right? That's the thing.
It's just such a small sample size for a very young player
yes.
that I'm not going to sit here and boldly say, Jiří should be in that position. This, whatever. Like, you have games like you hit the last one against Nashville, and that's a reminder of where you're at. But guess what?
Probably could have won that game anyway.
But you can, and you could have a line of 30, 31, and 32-year-olds have the exact same type of game in the NHL.
It happens. Yes.
It happens. It doesn't matter what the age is. It doesn't matter how many games you've played.
Yes.
So I don't want to make too much of it. But I also don't want to get too far ahead of it from Yuri's standpoint. And that's why, because we know what we've known from Thompson and his ability to play the middle. I think if I'm assuming a large part of how yesterday's conversation evolved was the still pending trade deadline this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets the brain working overtime. And what, if anything, are you wanting to do if you're the Sabres hockey operations department from, you know, and that includes everyone, you know.
Well, Jason asked over here, Duffer, because it is part of a trade thing. He said, would mm-hmm. you consider trading Cousins for a guy like Zacha in Boston or Vilardi in Winnipeg? Number one, I don't think the Jets would trade Vilardi right now. He's been really good with them, and I don't think the Jets are going to do a whole lot. Maybe add a depth, but, like, they're a really good team. And Zacha, Boston, I don't know. Is he a top six center? Is he basically what Cousins is getting? What else are you getting? Because if I'm trading Dylan Cousins for Zacha, I feel like I need something else in return. You know,
yeah.
So that's what the hiccup is. But I'm like, if you're going to trade Dylan Cousins, you better be getting something really good in return. And
right.
I don't think Zacha is good enough. And I think Vilardi's a wing. Sabres have tons of wing. So I'm not looking at those two in particular. I want something mm-hmm. way better than that.
Well, I mean, just to put it into a little bit more context, if we're going to be talking about where they're at organizationally at the center position.
Yeah.
On the heels of just having Michael Leone on with us in the first segment. I guess if you're feeling as good about Jiří Kulík as you are right now, I would be curious to know what your what your projected timeline is for Noah Osland, Konstantin Hellenius, and whether you see them as centers on this Sabres team in the reasonably near future. Obviously not this year. I get that. So,
yeah, I would think that the Sabres and I would probably be higher on Konstantin Hellenius than on Hosland right now. Like, Hellenius 18. So even if he was, like, to say in 2 years, he's mm-hmm. ready to come and be a full-time NHL player, he's mm-hmm. only 20 years old at the time. Osland is 20 right now. So
same as Jiří.
Same as Jiří, exactly. And I think that in 2 years from now, the difference between 20 and 22 is a lot greater than the difference between 18 and 20, in my opinion. So I would
like to... In a positive or negative, like, in what do you mean
by
that? I
think you make bigger strides between 20 and 22 in your body and your maturity and your experience level. Maybe it's because most 18-year-olds don't play in the AHL. And maybe Konstantin Hellenius is going to have a great... separation from an 18-year-old to a 20-year-old. And I think Konstantelainis is probably the guy that I would like to see first arrive on the scene. But with age-wise, I think it's probably more likely to see Noah Oslin as a 22-year-old being, like, in a 2 years from now time frame, being a regular Sabres and having a bigger role, maybe even as a third-line center, and work his way up in the lineup.
Well, that's a fair point because his attention to detail in all areas is what makes Oslund a really, I think, attractive prospect. Coach Leone can't say enough about him everywhere on the ice. So that's a real credit to him to be able to have established that already here in North American Pro. So, yeah, I think that's a really fair idea as far as potential placement within a Sabres lineup, that you're not expecting, even considering that, oh, like, here's a situation. We need somebody to fill in. Let's put him on the top line between Thompson and JJ or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not, that's not what you're doing here with Noah Oslund in the immediate future, I wouldn't think. Anyway,
it's not what you're doing with Oslund. And I think there's also, okay, you're looking at, well, Cousins is still considered young in the middle of the ice.
Of course.
Kulik is young. And you added Ryan McLeod. And I'm like, you have Peyton Krebs, who's still considered young. I know years ago, the saying around Buffalo was, young is getting old. Young is getting old. We're not young. We're not young. But they're still young. You look around the NHL, like, playing the center position in top two lines is not a 20-year-old job usually. It's hard to play that position. Mm-hmm. But I think the Sabres are still young. So going to the next step with the Sabres may be more responsible to go a little older. So now you're looking at Noah Oslund and saying, will he be fitting what you want to accomplish in 2 years from now? Are you going to be trying to get a little older and you may need a little younger, fresh kind of legs into the lineup? But I don't think it's going to be as a impact player. I think it's going to be as a supportive cast more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else from yesterday you want to empty out before you get into your Four Nations?
From yesterday, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people that would like to see some moves being made, but moves are hard to be made right now. And we all know that there's so many teams in the Eastern Conference, especially, that think they have a chance at making the playoffs. So, there's a lot of teams that are going to wait until the last second. So I don't think the team is going to look much different in 2 weeks, other than adding players from inside. And somebody said they'll be more physical because of the impact of Jordan Greenway. I think Greenway plays Saturday the 22nd against the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see a big difference in his game. So that may be the biggest impact that I see and that some of the people see on social media as well.
Not to be a downer here on this kind of stuff. Greenway coming back in. The reality is they were under 500 when Greenway was in the lineup. So these, to me, are fair questions. Like,
yes,
what impact can whoever, Greenway, anybody coming back into the mix, like, what's realistic? This is why I was cautious, to say the least, yesterday when talking about extending players. Because at the end of the day, what should matter most is what these players were able to do to get you to a record that has you where your goal was this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about Jordan Greenway, and you're right. With Greenway, yes, was there an impact? Yes. Did Lindy Ruff like a player like Jordan Greenway? Yes. Was the record, like, where you would want it to be with Greenway in the lineup? No. And I mentioned yesterday that you're getting 9 goals from Quinn, 11 goals from Cousins, 4 from Krebs, right? Like, that's like 15 from Paterka, which, okay, JJ Paterka, if playing with Kulik and Thompson and getting more offense, maybe he gets to 25 to 30, which,
well, he's
going
to get 60 points, which will be by far a career high.
Which
and
is
I think
great.
That's
great. Okay. But Greenway only had 3 goals in 20 right. games and only 7 points. Like, there's an impact that Jordan Greenway can bring to the ice. And I think there is a responsibility factor, a penalty killing factor, a physical factor. But it's not all of a sudden you're not going on a 10-game winning streak because you're getting 5.5 goals per game because Jordan Greenway's on the lineup. But I'd rather have Jordan Greenway in the lineup than not.
Yes.
And so how much does it move the needle? That's kind of like what we're trying to measure.
Right. And I think you've just kind of said it without saying it. Like, there are certain pieces that, you know, from a hockey op standpoint, you're going to feel like we need to have this piece. So then when we add this piece, we're going to have the proper balance. And that's obviously been a challenge this year. They just, you know, they haven't had it yet. Now, speaking of rosters that are stacked, that would be the ones that belong to the four nations who are competing in the face-off that starts tomorrow. Marty's rapid-fire four-nation segment is next on Sabres Live. Stay with us.